What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yo, welcome to another episode of In a Minute with Evan Lovett, coming to you live from the I Am Studios in the heart of Los Angeles. And speaking of Los Angeles, I am here with LA native, president of team and media operations for Kroenke Sports and Entertainment, and in his 16th year, the president of the Los Angeles Rams, Kevin Demoff. Welcome, and thank you for being here on the show.
It's great. Here we are, heart of Los Angeles. On the show, ready to dive into whatever comes my way.
Absolutely. And I say the Los Angeles connection. Obviously, that's what the show is about, and those are the guests we have. But football in Los Angeles is, at least during my formative years, was a very complicated relationship. I grew up, and I was talking to Kevin about this before the show, I grew up a Raiders fan. During the era of Bo Jackson, Marcus Allen, Al Davis, just win, baby. So-called commitment to excellence, which hasn't quite gone that way this century. But I also grew up in the era of no football teams in Los Angeles. No professional football teams in Los Angeles. And though USC kind of filled that void for a while, they had a great generation with Carroll and Leinart and Reggie Bush and Lendale White.
Those are interesting. I'm curious your choices of Lendale White. And Matt Leinart first, I'm sure he'd be grateful to know that, but
you know, Matt Leinart was top of mind because I was scrolling today and I saw a meme that he posted about his son or daughter, perhaps asking Alexa, who was Matt Leinart. And they talked about his great collegiate career, but he didn't amount to much in the pros. So I thought that was good on him for posting that, but also pretty funny. But Kevin is responsible. Largely responsible for bringing pro football back to Los Angeles in 2016. And that was the Rams. And the Rams are actually Los Angeles's original professional football team. Now, there was the Bulldogs prior. There was a couple other teams that never panned out. But the Rams moved here, and I want to say 1946, moved away, moved different places. But they came back, and now they are the premier football team in Los Angeles. So first and foremost, thanks for doing that. Thanks for bringing pro football back to LA. And before we really dive in, I do need to give a shout out to our sponsor, Ardo Brick, third generation LA American dream story, brick and tile, historic renovations of landmarks like La Plaza de Cultura y Artes, Alvera Street, Mariachi Plaza, Viviana. So Armin, CEO, doing a great job keeping jobs in manufacturing in Los Angeles, but also producing huge and incredible landmarks. And the Rams are a landmark NFL team. So first and foremost, I want to talk about bringing the Rams back to LA, what that meant to you as an LA native and how that happened. Obviously, it was Stan Kroenke, but...
Yeah, I was part of the team that helped bring the Rams back, but certainly Stan deserves the credit for taking the chance to build Hollywood Park, to envision SoFi Stadium, and, you know, the rest of us, you know, got to work on it you know, I don't think I ever went through the process of bringing team back home or being an LA native. It was always about the Rams and the opportunity here in Los Angeles to bring the NFL back to Los Angeles.
Right.
And to build SoFi Stadium in Hollywood Park. And I don't know whether it was just because I was, you know, protecting myself from if it didn't happen, you know, how you would think about it. But it wasn't until we actually won the vote and flew back here and I was having dinner with my parents and my family talking about it that it dawned on you like, wow, this is actually about bringing a team back home and what that meant and growing up. You know, I'm a similar time frame, a little bit younger, a little bit older, I guess, because I was a senior in high school when both teams left.
Okay.
So okay. I never grew up without NFL football in Los Angeles, but obviously that void of 21 years, yeah. you know, was huge. And also, I think for those of us who grew up, you know, there were times in which, you know, maybe the Raiders would be a peak in Los Angeles, but it was still never an NFL city, right? Like it was always a, you know, both the teams had talked about moving. The stadiums weren't great. The ownership situations were always a little bit fickle.
Okay.
Right?
Good word, fickle.
So
yeah.
I think it was very different than kind of what the NFL became today, modern NFL,
yeah.
you know, in the 21st century and certainly what it is now was so different for those of us who grew up with it here.
Right.
And, you know, so when you really got a chance to come back and think about it. But I remember even our first games in the Coliseum when you would walk through the tunnel and you think about all the amazing things that happened at the Coliseum. And I remember going back, starting with the 84 Olympics from my memory,
yes.
you know, and so on and so forth. It is a very cool thing to do. But now it seems, you know, and I think this is a great thing, 10 years in to the journey, it seems second nature that, of course, the NFL is back in Los Angeles yeah. and SoFi Stadium hosts these wonderful events. And I think that's the greatest accomplishment, I think, if we were to check a box over the last 10 years, is it feels like the NFL never left.
Yeah.
And that we're now enjoying the best parts of, you know, the NFL is certainly the heyday, the biggest sport in America, if not the world. And Los Angeles plays a crucial role in that, which I think is so different than when we were growing up.
Absolutely. And well said. And you brought up something too, where the NFL wasn't quite the NFL. It was turning into the NFL that we know. But again, baseball, the American pastime. And in the 80s, you know, when baseball was in its heyday. And of course, the Super Bowls and then the commercials and then just the league and the NFL just became this entity that is the premier sport, you know, since then. And it's just grown and grown. And Los Angeles, global, world-class city. I think the narrative for those 21 years that we didn't have a football team was, does LA want a team? Does LA need a team? Like, LA has so much else to offer and so many other sports. But again, now that they're here, people are excited about the Rams and people love SoFi.
You know, I think people in Los Angeles, though, viewed the NFL in those 21 years, the NFL that had been in Los Angeles previously.
Right.
The NFL
right.
that was in the Coliseum, the NFL that was in Anaheim Stadium. I don't think they probably understood what being a premier NFL city could be, what SoFi Stadium could bring, getting Super Bowls back to Los Angeles, what those Sundays
real could be.
But I also, you know, I would always tell people the NFL, you know, Los Angeles was kind of the petri dish for the modern day NFL of people who would watch Red Zone and Sunday Ticket and go to bars. You know, if you go to LA, every team has a bar somewhere
Absolutely.
In LA where their fans would get up and go. And so I think when you look at the rise of the NFL as a league and the preeminent league, you can do it without having a team. You know, and people always used to joke, and I think people forget about this. When the NFL was here, you know, games would be blacked out because they weren't full. And you, as a result, we would get, you know, these terrible Raiders and Rams games when the teams weren't very good. And people just wanted to watch the good games.
Yeah.
And so when the teams left, everybody would say, well, now we get the best games
each
week.
We're spoiled.
Like you're getting the doubleheaders, you're getting, you know, Sunday Ticket. And people are like, we don't necessarily miss that. And I think, you know, when I look back now and hopefully in our 10 years here, we've retrained the mark to be like, oh, this is what being a premier NFL city looks like. This is what having, and we've been fortunate enough, obviously, to have a couple of Super Bowl runs, to win a Super Bowl at SoFi, you know, to be a competitive team. I think people now see, okay, that's what the NFL is, more than maybe where we ended it up in the early 90s.
An excellent coach, exciting team, fun, brilliant, beautiful building. I mean, it really has become, the Rams are a premier team in this market. But I got to say, it goes Dodgers, Lakers, and then Rams. Would you agree with that currently in Los? I don't know if you're allowed to, but honestly.
Look, I think you would be lying if you said it's not that pantheon, right? And like, and it's funny, you said, you know, the Rams were Los Angeles' first professional.
By the way, did I say Dodgers Lakers? I meant to say Dodgers Lakers.
Yeah, I'll let you say
Dodgers Lakers.
I will let the Dodgers and Lakers argue that out, you know, over time. You know, my spare job as president of the Nuggets, I would argue maybe Dodgers ahead of the Lakers, but I'm staying out of this debate. But, you know, you talked about the Rams being LA's first football team. We're LA's first professional sports team ahead of the Dodgers, ahead of the Lakers. And so, you know, I think there was always a time when, you know, the Rams were that Hollywood team, and you go back to the fearsome foursome, you know, and Rosie Grier and
Merlin Olsen,
but all going on to become Hollywood stars.
Right.
Right. And, you know, I think for those that date ourselves, the Chips episode when Rosie Grier's in the little car and he removes the door to get out, and, you know, Merlin Olsen doing all his commercials. So there was always this place, I think, where the Rams had that Hollywood stardom. And even if you go back to Heaven Can't Wait and, you know, some of the movies and the mythology around it. And I think that's been one of our goals in getting back. But I certainly, you know, for us, one of the great things about being in LA, and I say this to people all the time, doesn't bother me that we're talking about the Dodgers or the Lakers.
Yeah.
This is an amazing market with championship teams, and you have to raise your level as an organization to meet the market where it's at. And I think the fact that we're in that conversation, that we hold our own, that we have a title and a couple of Super Bowl appearances similar to those teams in that time, to me, that means we're gaining ground, obviously, because people talk about the 21 years this team was in St. Louis.
Right.
But I think that probably shortchanges the fact that the previous 17 years they were in Anaheim.
Right.
Right. So you're talking really about 38 to 40 years gone from LA proper.
And they lost a lot of fans. My dad jumped off the bandwagon.
And I think the Raiders came in to downtown. They played at the Coliseum. And I think that's where, you know, to work to get back to, hey, are we there? And I always view it in the next 10 years, is it, you know, my goal is that it's Rams. And then you can argue Lakers, Dodgers. I'm not going to get involved in that. You know, but if we can we take these 10 years, do it again, and go catch those teams and pass them? I think it's certainly possible. It'll take a lot of work to do, a lot of winning, a lot of engagement off the field, but I think that's the goal. But I love that that's the challenge.
Right.
You know, in so many markets, the NFL is just king. You open up in those markets. Here, you've got to work for it, and I think that makes our staff and our players and our coaches better every day.
You're doing an excellent job in a relatively short time because, again, those teams are entrenched with titles, winning traditions, those kind of things. I got to focus on the fact, something you also kind of alluded to, in those 21 years that there was no NFL, people sort of broke up. You know, people have their favorite teams. You have Steelers fans, you have Bears team fans, you have Bills fans, Niners fans. Is winning those fans back part of the equation, or is it laying the groundwork for the future generations of Los Angeles natives and residents?
Obviously, you want both, but if you're going to focus on one, it's the latter. Right? Like, how do we go get the kids you know, who grew up? And it was interesting. I was at a bar mitzvah earlier this year, and it was a Rams-themed bar mitzvah. All the kids were wearing jerseys.
Okay.
But those kids only know the NFL with Los Angeles and the Rams.
Right.
Right? Like, that's what's so different about this generation. You know, but one of my favorite stories is one of my closest friends who I've worked with who lives here. He's from Chicago. He's a Bears fan. Son's a huge Rams fan. And so the Bears come to play the Rams. He comes on the sideline. He's a Rams season ticket holder.
Yeah.
You know, son's wearing a Todd Gurley jersey. He's fired up. Kids are all wearing Rams jerseys. He's wearing either a Walter Payton jersey, Jim McMahon, full Bears gear.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that speaks volumes to what happened, right? You either, because in those 21 years, if you grew up here, you found another team.
Correct.
Right. Like maybe who was on television most, who is the best team. And if you didn't grow up here, you just moved here with the team that you had. And that's
your team was.
Yeah. By the way, that's one of the things that's great about the NFL, because you play once a week, because you can watch games out of market. I think people stay with the teams they originally had. And by the way, we benefited from that when we brought the Rams back. Our core fan base at the very beginning were those people who grew up with the Rams and loved the Rams. And we still had that as a core. You know, and then we had all the people who were interested in, okay, a team's coming back, I'm going to go sign up, I'm interested. But that core stuck with us through St. Louis. And I would say without that, I don't know whether we get the chance to move. Certainly the NFL looked at our fandom when you look at all the polls and when we were trying to move in 2015 and 2016, LA wanted the Rams back. And I think, you know, what was probably so interesting in following all of those journeys from, you know, 95 to 2016, I think when people talked about bringing the NFL back, it was always like, well, is it an expansion team? Is it this? Yeah, is it that?
Yeah.
I think once the Rams coming back became a possibility,
right,
that certainly started to tip the scales in favor of, yes, we want the NFL back. And I always thought this, right, as someone who grew up in Los Angeles, I think there was a time when the NFL didn't need Los Angeles and Los Angeles didn't need the NFL.
Right.
I think when we came back is when they both realized they need each other, right? And what SoFi Stadium could be, what Hollywood Park could be, and how transcendent that would be for this city and this community. And I think LA said, we want that and we need that. And I think the NFL, and I always had this perspective too, the NFL, you know, there's the cartoon, I think, from the New Yorker where all New York people see like Long Island, New York, New Jersey, the Hudson, and then it's like LA is somewhere out there. Like the NFL was full of New York people who did not understand Los Angeles.
Right.
And they just thought, hey, here's what will work. And I think it took, you know, Stan has had a house in Los Angeles since the early 90s. You know, I was fortunate enough to grow up here. We had plenty of people on our group who understood Los Angeles and said, here's what makes it work.
Yeah.
I think versus the way the NFL had always said, oh, we're just going to do what we do everywhere else and transport it to LA. I don't think that would work long term.
Was that part of your famous presentation? So if every doing all the research, this Kevin Demoff presentation that wooed the NFL owners, that swayed the votes, was that part of it, you being from Los Angeles or having the perspective of being able to say what the NFL still means to Los Angeles at the time when the team was maybe coming back, maybe not, there were other possibilities for LA?
I think it was always throughout our entire viewpoint on where to go. I mean, I remember Stan and I having the conversation that if you were going to bring the NFL back to Los Angeles, there were only two locations that would work.
Yeah.
Dodger Stadium or Hollywood Park, right? Like you had to go somewhere that people knew.
Yeah.
You couldn't create a new destination. And so I think that kind of viewpoint infused throughout 2014, 2015, 2016, it wasn't as much, and I think way more has been made of that presentation. We had an amazing project would just come to life. We had a great ability to deliver upon it from Stan and his real estate background. But I think we always approached it from, here's what we know about LA and here's how we think we can make the Rams work more so than anything else. And I do think that gave us an edge from the beginning, but I would say that we won because we had the best project, because Stan was the right person to bring real estate and the NFL together. That's why, and people love the Rams. That was the team people wanted back. We had that trifecta, and more so than anything standing up in front of a room, you know, that's why we sit here.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's talk about SoFi for a second, because that seemed something that was so far from reality. Like, for years, they were talking about Hollywood Park this and Hollywood Park that. I know Carson was potentially floated as one of the spots for where a team might be based if they came back, if any team came to LA. But tell me about SoFi, how that vision sort of developed and, you know, in a nutshell, the process of making that a reality, because that was the first arena stadium building, frankly, that I'd been in years, and first new stadium of any kind of generations that I had set foot in, where I was like, this is mind-blowing. This is the future. This is beautiful.
Well, I think, you know, we can tackle that in bite-sized pieces how you want. I think one of the most interesting things about Los Angeles is this is not a market that builds new stadiums.
Right.
And I think that was one of the things that was so fascinating. Dodger Stadium's the third oldest baseball park.
Right.
Angel Stadium's the fourth oldest baseball park.
I didn't even realize that.
You know, I still call it the pond. I mean, Arrowhead is, Orange County is, 25, 26 years old. You know, Crypto/Staples is now 25 years old.
Which is also mind-blowing.
You know, you get into even, again, I still call it Home Depot Center. I know it's Dignity Health, close to 30 years old. This is not a market. The Coliseum and Rose Bowl where, football have been played are both 100 years old. This is not a market that builds new stadiums. And I would say if you compare that to New York, which went through a building boom in the early 2000s, the sixth newest building in New York, I think, was built in 2001. The sixth newest building in Los Angeles from a sports perspective is the Coliseum. Right. So it's 100 years old. And so I think that was one of the things, I think, from a SoFi perspective, which was it would blow people's minds because people hadn't done it. And I think people got a glimpse. And I think LAFC did an amazing job with BMO Stadium. Beautiful. But I think, and then even, when the renovations of the Coliseum started to happen and people started to say, I remember when the BMO and Coliseum happened, someone goes, well, why don't you just play here? And I'm like, just wait. Like, I promise you, SoFi will be that way. But I think it goes back to what Stan's vision was from 2014, which was you can't undershoot Los Angeles. And we're going to go build the world's greatest stadium, the world's greatest sports entertainment district at Hollywood Park. But you needed something the size and scope of Hollywood Park, of 300 acres, to go do that. And that's why we had said, we looked at Chavez Ravine, and people may remember Stan was the runner-up to buy the Dodgers, when they ultimately went to Guggenheim. Maybe it was Frank
McCourt. Was it McCourt? I think it was.
No, it was Guggenheim. Was it? I'm sorry. Yeah, in 2012. It was, and so you could have looked at there, but you needed space here, right? To bring that vision to life, to go invest. And then I think it was, how do you build a stadium that's uniquely Los Angeles? And I still love that you can see palm trees in our stadium from the 50-yard line, that it is covered, but it's still an outdoor building.
Totally.
All of those elements that I think make SoFi so unique, and remind LA of like, okay, this is what a world-class stadium looks like. And that's where you're fortunate enough, I now look at the next 3 years, the World Cup coming to SoFi in next summer, followed by the Super Bowl, after the 2027 season, followed by the Olympics in 2028. No building has ever hosted all three of those, let alone in a three-year span.
Yeah.
And I think that, that's the testament to what SoFi has become, not only within Los Angeles, but in the global sports scene, of the place where you want to have events.
It is the place where you want to have events. And it's also had a major impact on Inglewood and the surrounding communities. Do you want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah. Look, I think, it is amazing. I was driving, about a month ago down Century, and you look to your right and Intuit Dome is there, and you look to your left and you have these beautiful new movie theaters at Sinopolis, which are first new movie theaters in, Inglewood in 30 years. And then all of these businesses and YouTube Theater and SoFi Stadium. And I remember what it was even 10 years ago when we were breaking ground in what it looked like. And obviously the Forum was the first to kind of MSG coming back and investing, you know, in the Forum. And I think for those of us who grew up here, I mean, I remember Hollywood Park as a racetrack. Yes. I remember when they built the casino. You know, I remember going to the Forum in the 80s.
The Fabulous Forum.
When the Forum Club, you know, the Fabulous Forum, and then, you know, the Gretzky
Kings,
you know, and I think people always forget, you know, when post-Magic retirement, when the Lakers were bad, you know, Nick Van Exel and Cedric Ceballos and
Sadale 3,
you know, when those were your options on NBA Jam, you knew.
Although Van Exel, shout out, by the way, he's awesome. Like, but I get your point. Yeah,
you know, go. But the Kings were the draw at the Forum. And then obviously it went quiet when, you know, everything moved downtown. And I think that was always, but the location was always so amazing. And you could tell, you know, I would say this was one of the amazing things about Inglewood. You know, when early 2000s, I used to work in Culver City, and Culver City was nothing. You know, there was, I mean, there was nothing
recurring,
there.
Recurring narrative on this show. Continue.
Right.
Go on,
and then now, you know, you saw that growth and you saw Westchester and then the South Bay grew. Everything was growing around Inglewood.
Yeah.
And you just see, hey, if we could just put a catalyst there, this growth will continue, because that's the connection point between what was happening in Culver City and Marina Del Rey and Playa Vista.
Yeah.
You know, and all of those things that was happening in the north. You obviously had what was happening to the south. Inglewood was this nexus point. You're like, this could become something.
Yeah.
And obviously we're really fortunate that, you know, Wilson Meany and Stockbridge, which is the group that had worked on Hollywood Park Tomorrow, which was the project we basically bought.
Right.
You know, they had spent a decade working on getting entitled with Inglewood, working with the residents. And we were so fortunate because, again, without that, we don't walk into a turnkey situation. And so much is fortuitous. The 60 acres of land, you know, comes up for sale at Hollywood Park. We can buy that. We're then able to buy the other 240 acres. And, you know, Stan's viewpoint was you could put together 300 acres in the middle of Los Angeles, wow. Bigger than Disneyland.
Wow.
Right there in the heart of Los Angeles. And you could see what was happening on either side, that this could really be something special. And that was always, I think, the imagining point. And I think for us, for Inglewood, it was you had a mayor with Mayor Butts who had a vision for what he wanted the city to come to be very pro-business, to bring people back. You know, we had the petition, basically, the citizens initiative to help us build the stadium, of which we needed to get 8,000 signatures in, I think it was 2 months. We got 22,000 in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We have more signatures on an initiative than anybody has ever voted in an election in Inglewood, presidential, non-presidential, anything. I think that told you the excitement of, you know, the community, and you see Inglewood transforming. And there's good and bad that comes with that. I think we all know that. But that happens with Los Angeles when these neighborhoods, you know, develop and come back. But I do think what you see with Inglewood now, we've helped double the tax base, you know, that happens in the city. You put it, help put it on the map. And then I think from there, the residents can say, okay, now what do we want our city to become? And when we built the stadium, you know, a third of the workers on the stadium were local residents from Inglewood or surrounding zip codes. So it was local jobs, you know, local focus. We still have a ton of local Inglewood residents and surrounding neighborhoods who work our game days, which is a couple thousand people a day. So I think it's been an amazing catalyst for Inglewood and for Los Angeles on the whole.
And, you know, I've heard from people in the community about the work that you guys continue to do as far as the contributions. I want to give a shout out to Gustavo at Carnitas El Artista, best carnitas in Los Angeles. And this has nothing to, that has nothing to do with the Rams. They really are. But when I was in there most recently, he was telling me about the outreach from the organization and the participation that you guys have in the community, where it's not even necessarily PR making a big deal, but supporting local restaurants. Doolin's is another one. And where he's like, you know, the Rams have been good for the community. And I think that speaks volumes. I mean, for a major sports organization to have, you know, not just the impact, but the personal impact as well.
Look, I think the one thing is when you build the biggest house in Los Angeles, you know, at SoFi and, you know, the Rams house, you have to make sure that you go and take care of the people around. And I think whether, you know, we've done a project where we call certified Rams houses, where we go in and allow people to put a certified Rams house sign out in front to drive business, where we'll, when we're down there, that's where we cater in from for team lunches or staff lunches. We take them out to Woodland Hills. It's always try to be this symbiotic relationship where we can help become part of the community and where our people feel comfortable. Whether it's going to Hilltop Coffee on the way to games, you know, you're always looking for ways to authentically connect
right.
with the community, and not just, hey, these are the flashy moments that are on TV or covered by the media, but can you do meetings? You know, I think about Andrew Whitworth, you know, in the Serving Spoon and trying to keep that place alive. Like, that has been part of our journey. You know, one of my favorite places in LA, Sweet Red Peach, right across the street from the stadium. Amazing cake. Probably don't eat too much in one day. But, you know, that to me has been part of how you go discover LA. And one of the cool things, and I think about LA that we all love, is when you find a neighborhood and you find those kind of hidden gems and hidden spots, that's what makes you truly feel like you live here, right?
Yes,
like when you find those little places, and LA is, you know, I mean, it is 88 different cities and more communities than that.
572 neighborhoods, by the way.
But that's right. Like, but it's like, here's my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Here's what you do. And when people can go stop in other places and actually see the neighborhood versus just going to, you know, kind of the larger community centers around town, I think that's when you feel like, oh no, this is a true Los Angeles experience.
Absolutely. Be a tourist in your own town. In Los Angeles, so many neighborhoods to do that. By the way, my wife coined that phrase. She might not have coined it, but at least to me.
You got your Studio City Warriors.
That's absolutely right, by the way. If anybody knows where this comes from, I would be quite impressed, by the way. So you mentioned Woodland Hills. My heart is in the Valley, grew up in the Valley, talk about the 818. Tell me about everything going on there and what we are going to expect. Because the last time I was there, which granted was a couple years ago, huge field, the fence around it, couple buildings, Warner Center. I know there's all kinds of huge development going on, but that is Rams headquarters.
Yep.
So tell me what's going on, what's planned, and what else.
I think, you know, this is one of those perspectives that I did think that helped from us, you know, certainly me growing up here and people on our team working here, which was, we always wanted to put our headquarters in the Valley because it's a place that no one's ever really invested in from a sports perspective.
Right.
Right. And when you think about sports here, I mean, there was the time and there was one point, I remember the Clippers were looking at an arena in Burbank or Glendale. That was very quickly died.
Fleeting. Yeah.
You know, and you have Dodger Stadium, which is always kind of on the edge of whether you call that the Valley or not. You know, it depends on which way you drive to the game. Right.
Through Glendale. Like, you can kind of make that case. And,
you know, But we always thought, hey, this is, if you took the Valley on its own, it would be the 14th largest NFL market without the rest of Los Angeles.
Jeez.
And no one's ever invested their time and energy. Like, what a better way to grow a fan base than to say, hey, we're coming here. And so the first, I was thinking back in April of 2016, the first meeting we ever took about a permanent headquarters was with Westfield when they were trying to develop Topanga Mall, Topanga Village, and that center. And it didn't really work out. We kept an eye on the property. They put it up for sale in 2020. It was now fully entitled. And that was always the goal. We spent a lot of time looking actually around Van Nuys Airport, you know, the Sepulveda Basin. That never really worked. And, you know, so we were able to identify, we bought the old Topanga Mall from Westfield, which was fully entitled. That's 34 acres. We then, you know, the way these things work, right? Next door, the Anthem building, which had been empty for a number of years. They came looking and said, hey, you just bought these 34 acres. Would you buy our 34 acres? We're able to purchase that. So now we had 68 acres. And just for good measure, Stan loved, you know, Topanga Village so much as an outdoor mall from a real estate perspective. He goes, I'll go buy that too, right? So we now have 100 acres basically between Topanga, you know, Canyon and Canoga, right in the heart of Warner Center. Yeah. And some of it is entitled from the Westfield entitlements. We're looking at changing some of those and growing it to be our space, but this will be a, you know, many billion dollar development over time, which will be a Rams headquarters, there hopefully healthcare facility, you know, office space, you know, residential apartments, new hotels. But truly, if you look at what we've done at Hollywood Park, that's what we envision coming to Woodland Hills just with a practice facility instead of SoFi Stadium. And I think it's been great. You know, our players all live out, you know, kind of Woodland Hills and West.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we set up shop in Thousand Oaks in the Conejo Valley, which is a great home, you know, and that whole corridor really has become a Rams corridor. Our coaches, our players, everybody lives out there. They love the community. And I think we can really truly go make Warner Center and Woodland Hills the epicenter, certainly the West Valley, if not the whole valley. And I truly imagine that when we're done, people will look at that as the century city of the valley.
That's
I think that's our kind of, for better or worse, that's our goal, that's our vision. And if you go look, you know, at our website on the drawings and the renderings of what, you know, a 10-year project could look like, it'll be pretty amazing. And, you know, as someone, you know, I grew up right in between the city and the valley, spent a lot of my formative years, you know, here along Ventura. It is fun to go look and see what we can do for the valley. And for everybody, you know, there's such pride when you listen to people, you know, Encino, Reseda, Tarzana, Woodland Hills, Northridge, talking about this is going
to
be,
to my ears.
You know, this is going to be our team. And you know, they're going to have that epicenter. And, you know, we just thought, look, everybody can be, you know, in the South Bay, those places. Let's go do something that's uniquely our own, create that epicenter. And I think it'll be amazing when it's done.
Well, I want to thank you for doing that, because my dad, you know, he passed away in 2017, but growing up, he always would say, you know, the Valley is so overlooked. The Valley is so ripe for a team, for investment, for something. I believe at one point too, if I'm not mistaken, the Dodgers had looked into having a minor league team in the Valley.
Yeah, so the original blueprint for Westfield and Woodland Hills, when they did it, they had a minor league baseball park which I think it was either the Angels were actually talking about doing that as a minor league facility, and the Dodgers put the kibosh on that.
MLB
got involved, and then they turned into arena, and now we're going to look at a number of live music venues, because even if you think about the Valley, you know, people have to drive to Hollywood, to the West Side, to West Hollywood, to downtown to Englewood to go to music venues. What if we could put a 5,000 seat music venue in the Valley for it to have, you know, close down that commute? But I think it gives people such pride. And I think that's where we can truly anchor and say, when you want to be the Los Angeles Rams. And, you know, when we moved back, Mayor Garcetti had a conversation that said, I understand why you went to Englewood, you know, as a stadium you had to. He goes, but some piece of the Los Angeles Rams has to be in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles City.
You know, the city of Los Angeles. And I said, well, if you can help, and you know, certainly we were able to get this done, and now, you know, I can't wait to see what it will do for the city.
1.8 million people in the Valley. The Valley would be the sixth largest city in its own right in the United States if it were its own city. So ripe market, and it's going to be great. I want to get into your background a little bit, and I know we're running a little bit low on time, and thank you for being so generous.
As much time as you want. We're having fun.
So. Okay, good, because I got 100 more questions. No, I'm just kidding. So let's go to your origin story. So you're born and raised in Los Angeles, LA native, Benedict Canyon, where you grew up. You used to go to UCLA games with your dad, or with your family, I should say. And your father was a public defender turned NFL agent, which is, by the way, I'd love to know that story. I don't know if we spent a lot of time, but
you got to get him on the podcast.
That would be Marvin, right?
Yeah.
That would be incredible. And he still lives in that same house, correct?
My parents lived in the same house, basically Mulholland and, you know, Bedding the Canyon for 52, 53 years.
That's awesome. He has some
Prop,
stories.
Prop 13 going strong for them, by the way. I promise you.
Right. Homeowners understand that one. But some of his clients, Dan Marino, John Elway, Jonathan Ogden, Pride of UCLA, Tim Brown, and Rams like Jack Youngblood and Jim Everett. Talk a little bit, what was that like growing up in that atmosphere? Of around those NFL superstars, or your dad even just having that conversation in those dialogues?
You know, it was unique because when you grow up in LA, so many people are in the entertainment industry, and we had no connections to the entertainment industry, but we knew kind of all of these sports people.
Yeah.
And they would, you know, come through town, so you'd get to go to dinner with the players and they come through. I had Dan Marino came to one of my YMCA basketball games, you know, and came to one of my flag football games, and, you know, elementary school, which was always, you know, those were always interesting phenomenons. But you go to, you know, the Coliseum, and you'd see he had a ton of players in the Raiders. You'd go visit the players. It was awesome, but you kind of grew up a fan more of players than of teams.
Right.
Which was a little, you know, I started playing fantasy football in 1985.
Wow.
You know, mainly because of those things. You know, and
do you still play fantasy football?
I do.
All right.
I am terrible at it. Which, you know, I don't know whether I should admit.
Yeah.
I think my problem is, like, I have way too many biases. Like, I won't draft any 49ers, you know.
Okay.
You know, like,
you're a good fan, though.
When you know too much, you actually know too little.
Right.
Right? Like, in my one league with my college roommate where we have a joint team, and he's like, you're so stupid. Like, let's just do this. We tend to do much better than I do on my own. But, you know, so... But like that's how you kind of grew up, and it was fascinating in, you know, seeing it through the lens of Los Angeles as a sports town and NFL market, and and being around there. But I kind of grew up, you know, we had at first two phone lines in our house, which was very unusual.
Yeah.
At the time we were 213 when everybody
true OG
before to be true OG, you know, 310 did not even exist, and 424 I can't get behind.
747. Okay, right.
And so, you know, but I would always listen to my dad. He would, you could hear his end of the conversation, always imagine what the other end of the conversation looked like, and always, you know, wanted to be, you know, kind of the team aspect more than the agent side. And, you know, that was always the fun part of kind of growing up in, you know, in that route. So very unique and different. You know, people always ask me like, oh, did you know you wanted to do this? And I was like, I never thought I did, but you realize it's probably in your blood. In
the foundation was laid. Yeah. But you did grow up wanting to be a sports writer, correct?
Sports writer, sports broadcaster. So I used to.
Same here.
You know, I would go to the, you know, UCLA basketball, we had season tickets. My dad went to UCLA. My mom went there for a time. So they've had, I think my parents are now the fifth longest tenured UCLA basketball season ticket holders. They're somewhere in that range. And it's the one thing they're truly passionate about. Like, you know, you
want even the Rams? No.
You want to get my mom started, okay. You know, talk UCLA basketball. Shoot. But I would go to the games and I'd bring a pen and I would broadcast the games.
Yes.
And that's always kind of what I did. And then, you know, you want to become a sports writer, and I, you know, high school newspaper, college radio, all of those things. And always thought broadcaster, sports writer, and then realized like, I'm not really any good at any of this.
Shoot.
You know, don't have a voice for it. You know, don't have a key. Maybe I should, you know, go to the other side and, you know, make the news instead of covering the news.
And one of your first jobs was with the Los Angeles Avengers of the AFL, Arena Football League, which was trying to fill the void of the NFL not being in LA. Talk just for a little bit on what that was like, or how that sort of helped create Kevin Demoff today.
Yeah, I mean, so I moved back after college in 1999, did what everybody else did. I went to work in the internet and worked for a company called Broadband Sports. Which kind of predecessor now would be SB Nation and Bleacher Report. But we started building websites for NFL teams. Teams didn't have websites. So we would pay.
So funny.
And this tells you why the internet and our company went wrong. We would pay them for the right to build their website. So, you know, so we spent a lot of money to build the Cowboys website, you know, so, and ultimately through that, I wound up working on the Dolphins and the Packers and the Raiders. And through some of that, randomly got a call in July 2000 from Casey Wasserman.
Yeah.
And I assumed he's like, oh, he wants us to build their website. And he goes, hey, I was given your name by one of the NFL teams you're working with.
And you had no relationship with Casey
never
at
met.
That point.
Okay. And he was a year older than me. I think two now. Maybe two. It was close. And he said, hey, I'm bringing an arena football team to L.A. Been given your name. Would you like to go to breakfast and talk about what that could look like? And we went to breakfast. Kind of hit it off. I think he was 24. I was 23.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he always viewed the Avengers as, I think his goal at the time was to own an NFL team. You know, okay, this is going to be the trial. And we played at Staples Center. It was wild. I mean, so if you're ever fortunate enough to write a book, you know, the Arena Football League would be 75% of the stories because they were so out there. But I would say it was the same as running an NFL team, just the checks were smaller.
Yeah.
And no one really paid attention. So you could make a ton of mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, and learn the game. But we played at Staples. It was fun. You know, and 4 years of kind of helping build that team, hiring coaches, trading players.
As a young man.
Yeah.
As a very young man.
But I also, you know, I'd go to Jerry's Deli and pick up lunch every day for the team. You know, I did the airport runs. You know, I did laundry.
Yeah.
You know, you did everything. I think one of the cool things, and I always tell people if you want to get into sports to work in minor league sports, because there's not a job at the Rams that I probably haven't done at some point through either my career in the NFL or my career in the Arena Football League. And I did that for 4 years and kind of said, okay, I think I've outgrown the Arena Football League, which at the time was a rocket ship. It had just gone on NBC.
Right.
You know, NFL teams were buying in. And so I went back to business school and wound up in the NFL after that. But it was an amazing ride. And Casey and I joke because when I left, he's like, hey, we're getting so close to getting an NFL team. And he had been looking at buying land in Hawthorne and downtown to do a stadium.
Okay.
And I said, you know, I remember looking at him and saying, I believe you. I don't know when that will be. So when we came back 13 years later with the Rams, we kind of joked, you know, and here he is now running LA 24, LA 28, changed the landscape of sports in LA. We're here with the NFL team. I think it wound up working out, but it was an amazing formative experience, and I would not be here without Casey in the Arena Football League and in that training.
Are you guys still close?
We are. It is interesting. I think, you know, we always talk about the NFL, but we can always joke about some of the crazy things we saw in the Arena Football League that, you know, were just those bond when you start off something very small and build it at the very beginning.
And now LA 28. Again, that's more his realm, but I'm such an Olympics wonk. And I went to the 84 games too, one of my first foundational memories with my parents. And LA 28, just a quick soundbite. Are you optimistic? There's a lot of balls in there and there's a lot of things
I am very optimistic. Okay. And obviously we're a huge part of LA 28. We're opening ceremonies along with the Coliseum, you know, at SoFi Stadium and swimming, you know, and I went to a ton of the swimming in 1984 and I collected all the Coke cans, you know, which had
I was a pin collector.
The pin collector and the Coke cans,
Yeah.
So, you know, I had the hat with the pins, you know, and then the Coke cans, which had the little stick figures for all the different sports, which were great to collect. But I am very bullish. I think it's going to be an amazing for our city, you know, great people working on it. Yay. And it's one of those things that'll be a labor of love. And, you know, I remember when we first moved back and Casey talking to me about, hey, we're going to try to make a bid for 2024. And I said, that seems far away. And then, you know, 2017, you get it for 2028. And you're like, that seems decades from now. And now here we are on the countdown.
We're going to wake up and it's going to be opening ceremonies.
And opening ceremonies. And if you haven't seen the pictures of a pool at SoFi Stadium to host swimming, it's going to be amazing. And, you know, I am very excited and bullish on the Olympics and what it can mean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing I neglected to mention earlier, and it's a pretty big thing. You talked about all your roles from the Avengers and all the way up through the Rams, but I didn't even lay out your background outside of the Rams. Not your background, your vocation, I guess, outside of the Rams. You oversee operations of all Kroenke Sports and Entertainment teams, including Denver Nuggets, Colorado Avalanche, Colorado Rapids, Colorado Mammoth, that's a lacrosse team, and operations of their media properties, including Altitude Sports Entertainment, KSC Radio, and Outdoor Sportsman Group. How the heck do you get time to sleep, time for yourself, time for your family?
I don't.
And have so much success?
The last part's a great question mark. I'm not sure it's success. We kind of go along as we can. Look, I think the one thing is
your teams are kicking. I mean, Nuggets. I got to say, Nuggets.
Nikola Jokic. I mean, you know,
yeah.
When you have Nikola Jokic and Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, like, makes life a lot easier.
Okay.
I think we're fortunate to have great ownership, which gives us a platform to go do these things. Then you take the lessons you learn at each place and kind of grow it. It is weird for fans. You know, the Nuggets played the Clippers last year in the playoffs. My 2 years of running the Nuggets, we've played both the Lakers and the Clippers in the first round of the playoffs.
Dude.
And, you know, all of the Rams fans, like when I tweet out, like, go Nuggets, you know, F you. You know, like, I don't care. I'm like, you know, maybe I need a separate account for some of this stuff. Like, you know, it kind of crosses, you know, borders. But look, I think the fun part about sports is you kind of get involved and you learn it. And you have great people who help you run these teams. You have great players. You have great coaches. And you just try to give them the tools to do it and stay out of their way. And I think, you know, that's no different than I would say running a large company or anything else is, you know, for anybody. If you can have great people who help you along the way, and a vision for where you want to go. And it's been fun. But, you know, this is, you know, people ask me now who my favorite child is of my teams. And I'm like, it's just like a parent. We all have favorite children. We just never admit who they are.
It's the Rams, though.
Right. You know, but that's, you know, it's, you know, easy. But when you grow up here, there's a special part of this. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, to continue to grow this team into the fabric of LA is hugely important. Those teams in Denver are part of the fabric of that community. We still have so much work to do here. And, you know, I think that's the challenge you look at every day.
Testament to the job that you're doing. Okay, quick hit and then we're out. Thank you again for being so generous with your time. Let's talk about this year's team. You've been optimistic off the charts. I think you called it the most talented, either the most talented or the most exciting team. Talk to me about this year's team, especially in light of Stafford's back.
So I have said this is the most talented team. I think what I mean by that is I would say if you looked at this roster 1 through 53, it is collectively the most talent we've had on any team. I don't think anybody in our organization would disagree.
Okay.
We may not have the star power that we did of...
Still some stars.
2020. Yeah. And we have plenty of stars. But like when you... And people forget, like we traded for Von Miller. We added OBJ kind of midway through that year. When that year started, you know, but we have Puka Nacua who... Yeah. He was set records for his first 2 years. Jared Verse, who won Rookie of the Year. Kobe Turner, runner-up Rookie of the Year before. And Matthew Stafford, Devontae Adams, Kyron Williams. Like, we have a great collection of players. I think this is the most tightly connected group, you know, bonded. They care deeply about one another. They care about winning. I think that's what gives us so much optimism, you know, around this team. And they've been growing together. I think one of the things from our teams maybe that had miraculous run, Super Bowl runs in 18 and 21 is we had traded for a bunch of pieces. We had brought them together. This is really a homegrown group.
Yeah.
You know, over the last few years, playoffs. And now, you know, you hope you're knocking on the door, but look, you got to go earn it. You know, being the best team we've had on paper means nothing if, you know, we start off slow, if guys get hurt, but I know this team has a chance and that's all you want for your team, for your fan base going into the season. Is hope that this team can make a Super Bowl run. This team is clearly capable of that.
Yeah, it is.
Whether we earn it or not is up to them.
By the way, for those of you that gamble, I don't, but I pay attention. The over-under was 9.5 wins I saw for the Rams, which seemed mighty low. So I would say go with over.
To be fair, you know, over-unders tend to be lower because everybody over-inflates. You know, my favorite thing when you look at like this week, people predict everybody's records, right? If you add them up, they never add up to 500, right? Like, if you look at, if you go pull out USA Today or ESPN and they predict all the records, you know, it's usually like 20 games over 500. Everybody thinks their team's going to be better than they are. But look, I've always viewed this any year in which we haven't been in the Super Bowl previously under Sean, we've made the playoffs. And I always say, until that changes, once you get in, you've got a shot.
That's so true.
You know, we have an amazing coach, amazing team, you know, hopefully some miracle work on Matthew's back, you know, we'll keep him upright for 17 games and we'll go from there.
Talk to me about Sean McVay and then you're out of here.
Look, I would say Sean is, he's a unicorn. We're so fortunate.
39 years old, this guy. I saw a stat. I think he has the third most wins in NFL history under age 40.
Yeah. Which we put out today. And I mean, most wins in Rams history, you know, already as a head coach.
Wow.
And, you know, but I would say he is the best communicator and leader I've ever been around. Like he, when you're in a room with him, he lights it up. He makes you feel like the most important person.
Yeah.
He finds a way to authentically connect with the entire roster, the coaching staff, the fan base. He's a great play caller. He's a great football mind. I think what gets lost though, is he is truly a generational communicator leader. And if he wasn't a head coach, he could be a CEO. He could do so many different things. But I think we're fortunate to have him. Les Snead, our GM, who's now the winningest GM in Rams history. They make a terrific pair. We have a great group, you know, collectively around them. And, you know, we're in great hands. And I think when you wake up and you know you've got one of the best head coaches in the NFL, you've got one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, you know, I think we have one of the better organizations. That gives you a shot every year. And I think that's what's fun for Rams fans. When you wake up each year, you've got a shot. And, you know, there's nothing more fun than going into a year on any team, in any league, saying, we've got a real shot.
It's awesome when optimism and hope reign supreme. Okay, I'm going to end on this note because this is facts about the Rams that I really cherish. And again, I'm born and bred Raiders fan. But the Rams' history
a life of disappointment.
Is century. I say this century has been terribly disappointing. But in the 80s, it was great to be a Raiders fan, and some of the 90s. Rams' history and legacy in Los Angeles is no joke because these three facts. Number one, everybody talks about Jackie Robinson as the first African-American player in pro sports, and not to take anything away from his legacy, but people forget that the year prior, when the Rams' first year in Los Angeles, they had two African-American players, Kenny Washington and Woody Strode. So I think that that's something that actually is very overlooked. Mm-hmm. And I try to focus on that. I've done episodes on that. I think that's super important and a testament to the Rams. I mean, that's breaking an extremely important barrier. So number one. Number two, the Rams had the first first logos on their helmets, which is kind of cool when you think about that. 1947, a guy named Fred Gehrke was painting them in his garage, and he said he used to have buckets of blue and – is it blue and yellow or blue and gold, by the way?
Blue and yellow.
Blue and yellow paint to paint them. So that's pretty significant because teams, I mean, except for a handful, all have the logo on the helmets. And the first Los Angeles professional sports title in 1951. The LA Rams beat the Browns 24-17. So those are three pretty important hallmarks for the Rams organization. And we look to the future with Kevin Demoff, but they have a foothold in the past that should also be celebrated. So thank you for bringing the Rams back. I know, and Stan, thank you as well. But thank you for everything you're doing in Los Angeles, for the community, Inglewood, greater Los Angeles, and wish you luck here this season and bring it to the Valley, man.
I know. The 818, special place, right? So, you know, we're fortunate to be part of Los Angeles' fabric, and, you know, it'll be 75 years next year from that first title.
Yeah.
You know, in 1951 and, you know, continuing along, you know, that history of inclusion, innovation, championships. I think that's everything organization's about. And I think, look, breaking barriers and doing things uniquely and differently is what is uniquely Los Angeles.
Yes.
And I think, you know, that's always been part of our DNA and ethos, and something will continue well into the future when we surpass those two other teams you mentioned at some point.
There we go. Well, thank you so much, Kevin. I appreciate you being here. And Rams, it's LA's team. Let's go. All right, LA, it's been a minute.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.